Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 43 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new game every single week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric Krause.
Now with 100% more Stream Deck.
Hell yeah. We have a Stream Deck now. Eric's been super pumped about it.
Yeah, he's not sponsored, by the way, but we enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, so Stream Deck's like kind of the brand, huh?
Yeah, especially for like this thing. Like Elgato's kind of been trying to make it big with all this, you know?
Yeah. It looks very like fancy and
it does look really fancy. So like I suggested this to you last week because you were like, we should get a Stream Deck. I'm like, I could just get a keypad and then just set up a bunch of macros anyway. But you're like, nah, the LED switches are where it's at. And you were right.
It looks fucking clean. Doesn't this look so satisfying?
Yeah, it looks clean.
I just want to start touching stuff, but yeah, I know that's
you
probably...
You should, because you're going to fuck our stream up.
Shouldn't do it.
Here, you could touch the power button because it just shuts off the lights. That's the only one you're allowed to touch.
All right. Later, at later. Some point.
Yeah.
Eric, we have a great show planned. But before that, people, if you've ever enjoyed this show, you enjoy the show right now, or you think maybe one day you'll enjoy this show, please follow us on twitch.tv/lightforembargo. Subscribe to our iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Tell your grandma, tell everyone, get everyone part of the Church of Late for Embargo.
The church. We're a church now, so yeah. We went from selling contraband to it being a church.
Services, ceremony services every Wednesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m.
I feel like that's a dangerous route to go down. But maybe we could get recognized as a religion and get that government money, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking...
Screw the Twitch money. Let's get that government money.
Yeah. I was theorizing today just because, you know, money is all I ever think about.
Yeah,
and I was obviously. Like, if we ever made a dime from this, and you know, obviously we've talked about it before, like we would just use the money to do podcast things.
Yeah.
If neither of us are technically making a profit... Do we have to, I don't know, like, how do taxes work for that? If neither of us are, we're only using the money to spend on podcast things that are, like, it's a self-consuming entity or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How does that work for taxes?
I mean, we're still getting paid, so the taxes would still get taken out, regardless of whether we're making a profit or not.
Well, no, I just meant at the end of the year, you know, your W-2s and such, because it's like, I don't even know how to report money that I don't technically have.
Yeah, that's true. Huh. Well, we'll cross
that. I'm sure there's resources out there, we'll figure it out. Eric, what have you been playing?
Absolutely nothing. I've been just playing Destiny. You know, we got that Solstice armor grind going out right now, and it's a bitch.
Yeah, I came home the other day, and we just kind of sat, me and Macy, my girlfriend, sat and watched you play Destiny for an hour.
Yeah, because I was just working out. When you were watching me, I was just working on the green armor, and you gotta go green, blue, and then you get the purple, and then you can masterwork the purple. So it's just taking a really long time. I'm on the blue right now. I got the boots done for the blue last night, and I'll probably go in and get something else done tonight if I feel like it. I also want to finish doing some stuff for the stream. If you haven't noticed, we have a whole new look.
Yeah, the new, like, we'll begin momentarily, and the we'll be right back screen are, like, fucking dope.
Yeah.
They're so cool, dude. I assumed that you had downloaded them because I thought that they were
really cool. Yeah, I know. I did feel pretty cool when you were like, oh, where'd you get that? I'm like, oh, I made it.
Well, because we had the Stream Deck. I was like, oh, is this just some, like, fancy, like, like Eric's like, oh, this is easier because now I can just download this stuff. But I was like, oh, you made it. That's impressive as hell.
Look,
very
when
cool.
We buy something to improve the stream, I also need the stream to look better on the software front, too. So I had to go and make that. Plus, I've been wanting to work more in After Effects anyway. This gets me doing that.
I've tried. Okay, so my girlfriend, Macy, we made exactly one YouTube video. It's about haunted dolls on Etsy.
Yeah.
And it was a real good time making it, and it was really fun to edit. But I was, like, hell-bent on making her an intro.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent, like, an entire day trying to mock up this entire logo and this whole, like... thing and I that was the huge part. I'm really confident I could have done it in After Effects, but I have zero graphic design skills.
Yeah.
So I was like kind of above my grade. If I had the resources, like the materials made, I'm confident that I could do all of the animation and stuff in After Effects.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the actual designing of the graphics were my issue. Eric, you wanna know what I've been playing?
Yeah.
Well, before that, bump game of the show. Oh yeah, we're talking about Fire Emblem Three Houses. The first question from the chat, Cardboard Cutout says, is Three Houses worth it? My answer before we even get into it is yes.
Yeah, so you've been liking it, huh?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to start out by saying, if you were to ask me, Logan, what's a genre of game that you respect, you think is cool, but you know is not for you. You know that, you know, you're not going to buy any of these games.
Yeah.
And I would say strategy games. I would say, you know, the XCOMs, the Fire Emblems.
Yep, for sure. Literally this game.
Yes, literally this game. And so Fire Emblem Three Houses gets announced. I'm like, I don't care. Cool. Whatever. Good for those nerds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the release date comes up. I'm seeing a lot of tweets. I'm starting to get FOMO.
Yep, as we do most often with any new big AAA kind of release.
I'm starting to get major FOMO. And I'm like, you know what? Wouldn't it be a fun idea if I jump into this game and just see how it goes?
Yeah, drop $60.
Yep, just drop $60 of my own hard-earned cash and buy this game that I likely will not like.
Yeah, exactly. I know that feeling all too well.
Yeah, so I get the game, and one of our... dudes here on the podcast, our good guy, I Blame My Roles, huge Fire Emblem fan, and I hit him up on our Discord, you know, exclamation Discord, to get an invite to that in the Twitch chat, and I said, listen, this is my first Fire Emblem game, you got any tips or tricks or anything like that? He comes back with a bunch. He's like, do this.
He posts pretty much a novel.
Yeah, he gives me a novel of great advice, good stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I start playing the game. I go through, you know, the intro, and then you have to pick a house. I stop, and I'm like, oh, my, I don't even know. I had talked to everyone, so, at this point, I knew all of the characters.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm like, fuck, dude, I don't know. The yellow house seems really cool. Claude, their house leader, seems like a really cool guy. He's, like, my favorite character so far.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I like him a lot. My problem is the blue house also has a lot of good characters in the house. Their house leader, a cop.
Okay, you just don't like the house leader, but you like everyone else.
Yeah, everyone else was cool, but the house leader, again, a cop.
Okay,
you know, he just was a goody-goody, too good
chivalrous
man. Yeah, I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah, you don't. Those people are sketchy.
And then there was the red house, with Endelgard is her name, I think. Mm-hmm. And she was super cool, badass. Again, I just didn't really like her house people, and I knew that they were magic, and I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like playing those people. And so it came down to the wire. I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, who am I gonna pick? And I just go with my gut, and I pick yellow, and I pick the golden deer. You know, that's Claude, the dude I liked a lot. And I'm super happy I picked this house. It's like all the characters are great. I've heard the story's a little bit more like lighthearted because all the characters are like.
Oh, so is there three different stories?
Yeah. So the thing about this game is that there's three houses, and each house is like a pretty drastically different story.
Okay.
Like there's different beats. There's all, you know, there's a whole different like plot line as far as I can tell.
Do you interact with each house? Like you pick your one house and then do you interact with the other two?
Yeah. So, okay. The way it's framed, right, is that you're a professor. Let me start from the beginning.
Okay.
Your character's name is Byleth, a man or a woman. You know, you choose the gender of your person, and their name is, you can name them whatever. I just kept the name Byleth because I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
You're a mercenary, and you're out here with it's unclear as to whether this dude's your dad, and his name's Geralt. He's an older mercenary guy.
Geralt, like from Avrivia?
It's spelled with a J.
Oh, okay.
It's so kind of. At least I think that's what I'm recalling his name to be.
Okay.
You guys have these run-ins with these like knights that are like children, right?
Okay.
And not run-ins is like bad, like they're getting attacked by bandits, and so you're like, well, we'll help out, right? And mm-hmm. you get in there and you do your good battle things and you defeat the bandits, and then they're like, hey, Geralt, your dad or not your dad? I don't know. There's an actual thing where it's like, is this your dad? And you can say no or yes.
Oh, okay.
And then even later, they're like, is that your dad? And you're like, I don't really know. So. Your dad. Apparently he used to be a part of these like Knights of Saros is their name. They're like this big monastery church organization, and he left. Never says why. They're like, okay. You should come back. And he's like, oh, I guess. And they're like, you, another literal child, like 17, should be a professor.
And your character?
Yeah, your character. They're like, you should teach. Because you're clearly a very skilled warrior, and you're like, all right. And
so not now, doing anything better. I'll go teach.
And so now you are in charge of, you know, you and then right after this is when you get back to the monastery, and they're like, you have to pick a house to be the teacher of.
Yeah.
This is like how it's framed, right? You have to be the professor of this house. And so that's when the decision comes. And then after that, your house is who you're, you know, you're battling with, and you're doing all that like stuff. You're leveling them up. But in the monastery, you can go and talk to and interact with any of the characters in any of the houses. And okay. That's actually important because you can recruit pretty much anyone from any of the other houses, but you have to get like specific stats where it's like, oh, this character values strength and faith, and so you have to get those like of your own stats like up. Okay. And so to a high enough level.
Yeah, that's very RPG-ish.
JRPG. Yeah, to recruit them. And then there are like, obviously you can't recruit the house leaders of the other houses or like their like lieutenants, I think.
Okay.
So there's like very few characters, which is important because slight spoilers, and this isn't a slight spoil. I mean, like you can kind of infer, right?
Yeah.
So past here, a little bit of spoilers. At the end of this game, whoever is not in your house is going to be dead.
Oh, shit.
Because, you know, it starts out and you're all in this monastery and you're all learning together and you're teaching your house. But I've heard and I've read, and I haven't gotten here, that there's like a time skip. And then you're all the enemies become these other houses that you're fighting against. Oh, and so shit. It's going to be like, I'm going to kill all of these people.
So whoever you don't have in your
whoever house. You do not have. So it's kind of important that like you get the ones that you want or like.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're going to fucking murder them if not. Yeah.
So what's the main conflict of the game then?
So at the moment, I'm part of this monastery and they kind of rule over the land, right? There's the three houses are actually indicative of like the three kind of nations that embody this continent.
Okay.
And they're all kind of united under these like the Knights of Saros or whatever, this church. And right now I'm just kind of teaching my students and training them, and that's the whole thing. Like you're guiding them to be good warriors. And you're going out and you're like killing bandits who are trying to steal stuff, and there's like this plot line about there's like this guy who's part of, I don't know, he's like a duke or something, and he's like uprising, like he's trying to fight against the church, and they're like, why? I don't know why this guy's doing this. There's not really an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also right now like I'm in this plot line where we're preparing for this big event where we think someone's gonna try to assassinate like the leader of the church. Her name's Lady Rhea. And she's kind of like the, I don't know, holy, you know, pope kind of.
Headmaster of the church, pretty much.
Yeah, she's like the pope or whatever of this thing. And she's supposed to be able to, like, talk to the goddess and shit.
Okay. Basically Dumbledore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, but, like, I don't know. She seems, I'm, like, a little iffy on her right now because she keeps talking about, like, oh, we can't, you know, how dare they go against the church? And they're very, like, I don't know, kind of totalitarian, it seems like.
Yeah.
Like, the church kind of, you know, it's kind of like, you better be part of this church or we'll fucking murder you. It's kind of what the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, no parallels to real life there.
Yeah, and so I'm like, I'm a little conflicted because you're supposed to be part of this monastery. Like, the Blue House, their nation's, like, very religious. And, like, that's their whole thing is they're trying to, like, uphold the values of this fucking religious organization. And I also remember the Black Eagles, who were like the Red House. They also were not like, they're super down with the status quo. Like they're totally cool with it. It seems like they had some other deal. I don't really remember. And the Golden Deer, the Yellow House are like, they're kind of made up of all the misfits is like kind of the way they're described. And they actually want things to change. They'd rather be more democratic. Oh, and like okay. And shit like that. So that was another reason I picked their house, because I was like, I'm down with this goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. So far, the story is, it's kind of like, I mean, I Blame My Roles even kind of pointed it out when I was talking to him earlier, where it's kind of like pretty standard fantasy stuff.
Okay.
But so far, I think like the politics of the whole thing are super interesting, and the world is awesome, right? Like you get, I don't know, like the monastery and the whole thing is really cool. Mm-hmm. And like the like political differences between all these three houses is really interesting. Whereas, you know, the general like A to B plot so far isn't crazy to me.
Have you felt, since this is your like first entry in the game, that you're out of the loop on any of these kind of things?
So as far as I can tell, this is like kind of a Final Fantasy situation where it's like each game is entirely different, not really related to each other. I don't even think they take place in the same universe.
Oh, okay.
So no, not really. As far as mechanics wise, a little bit, where I kind of was like, I don't know how this game really works. Mm-hmm. Right? And this is just coming from someone who doesn't even play the genre. Like, I don't know how fucking strategy games work. And there's all these systems where you're kind of like laying out your game per month, right?
Yeah.
And each thing is per month, and you get all these funds for the month, and then on like Saturdays and Sundays, every Saturday you get to, it's like your day off, you get to pick what you want to do. Are you going to go explore the monastery, which is just like a little open world thing, you go around and you do quests and you, you know, your teacher training and you're getting all these stats up. You can battle, which is great because obviously then you're just kind of grinding a little bit to get your characters more powerful. You can do seminars, which will like kind of train one specific stat for like the like whoever is going to show up, whoever, whichever students would benefit. So there's all this kind of things in the revolve around kind of getting levels up and stuff. And that's a little daunting where I'm like, oh man, like, I don't know really what to do yet. But I've kind of gotten to a rhythm where it's like, oh, you should explore once a month. Probably that's like enough. And then, you know, you should battle whenever you can. If you're not going to do anything else, you should battle. Cause that's the best way to, you know, level up your characters and make them strong. And so that's been a little strange so far. And there's all these classes. I Blame My Rolls was telling me that, In the previous games, like, every character kind of had a set class, and you were just basically leveling them up in their class, and sometimes it would split where it's like, oh, now you have to choose between Assassin or Myriad or whatever it was. But in this game, you can actually make any of your characters any class. They're kind of preset to be specific classes, where it's like, okay, this character is a magic user, but, I mean, you don't have to do that. You can, they have goals, it's called, where it's like, oh, I want you to use a sword. Like, you're going to use a sword. You set their goal. Okay. And so I haven't done a whole lot with that where I'm like, I don't really know how the class stuff works yet. I'm like 9 hours in, which means I should probably know this stuff by now, but I don't.
Well, it seems very JRPG-ish where
you
get slogged down in just
all the details.
Things. Yeah.
And now I feel like I'm going to get to the point where your eyes are going to gloss over and I'm going to be talking about like the dumb fucking classes and axes and shit. But I'm not that deep in yet, so I don't know.
Well, you're 9 hours in. That should be
It's like an 80-hour game. Yeah, so I haven't even gotten to, like, I know that the time jump's coming, right? Where it's like 5 years ahead, and that's kind of the big point in the game, I think.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty early on. And I feel like I should have been there by now, but I'm probably just moving pretty slowly.
Do you feel like you're still kind of in tutorial area where the game's still teaching you a lot?
No, I feel like I'm post-tutorial where I'm like, okay, I have all of the mechanics now. And you're kind of just, like, testing it all out.
Okay.
So, it does. I mean, it's nice because I feel like it eases you into it, right? It's, like, going to get you in this routine of doing all this stuff in the monastery, and you're really going to get to know your characters and all this stuff, and it's giving you time to go recruit those characters you want before things go to hell.
Yeah. So, do you think you'll stick with this game for the full 80 hours?
Yeah, I'm really invested. And I mean, I haven't even talked about the combat yet. Because that was the thing that threw me off the most. Where I was like, oh, man, like, this seems boring. You're just, you know, it's this whole grid kind of thing, right? Everything's a grid, and you're moving your characters around like chess pieces. And at first, I was like, I don't understand how this game works. It kind of just seems like I'm moving my characters up to the next enemy and hitting them until they die and doing that again.
Yeah.
But as the game's progressed a little bit, one, I think I've benefited greatly from having permadeath on. I played in like the classic, I'm playing like a normal difficulty with permadeath.
Okay.
And I feel like that's actually benefited me a ton because I am like every move, I'm like, I cannot lose any of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I do that, then they're gone forever or I restart the level. There's a rewind mechanic. So if you get like two fuck ups of every battle.
Okay.
So like,
how often can you save? Can you like just save every time you go in before a battle?
Yeah. I keep multiple saves just in case like a battle is just way too hard. And then I'm like, oh, and then I can, you know, back up and grind a little bit before I even like go in there.
Yeah.
So it's really cool because now I'm like, oh, I need to be very strategic. I feel like if the permadeath wasn't on, I feel like I would just kind of rush through every battle and like get down to the last, you know, you let everyone die but one character or whatever, but it's good, and then you just move on, right? And that's just not as fun to me. That's why I didn't like XCOM, because I was like, I don't know, I never felt strategic in that game. I kind of just felt like all my dudes were dying all the time.
Mm-hmm. But you're beating levels still.
Yeah, but I'm beating levels still, or I'm not, because that game's pretty fucking hard.
Yeah.
In this one, I don't think it's hard, but it still makes me feel smart. I'm like, okay, cool, there are clearly like kind of two paths here, so I'm going to send... you know, I want two archers to go here, and I want, you know, Hilda, who has an axe, and I want her to go. And so I'm kind of sending like my tanks with archers right behind them and like a healer. And then I'll do the same kind of split on like the other side. So you have like a nice, and then, the strategy I've kind of come up with so far is that you can see if you press like ZR, ZL, I can't remember. like where your enemies will actually like their range. And okay. So it's like this big purple line. And so far my kind of strategy has been, all right, just stay behind the purple line. You make them come to you a little bit, and that way
you have the
you get the first attack.
Yeah.
And another big thing is this I think came from I Blame My Rolls as well. He's like, you should always try to spread the wealth a little bit. You have characters that can like kind of one hit KO people if you really want, mm-hmm. but then they're the only ones leveling up. So, you know, it's nice to like archers get a hit on them, and then you know, Hilda, who's this like pink haired girl, and she's like, I like her a lot, but she's like got this axe that's super good with, and she'll rush up and just fucking kill the guy. And so it's like, well, they both get stats then. And then, you know, I use Lysithia, and she's like the healer girl, and then, you know, every time she heals anyone, they get like she gets points. So it's like, I don't know, it's really cool to like kind of spread the wealth. Like, not only am I trying to win, I'm also trying to like win evenly.
Yeah, so that everyone levels up.
Yeah.
So how is leveling up each character? Do you get new moves? Is it just numbers based? How is that?
So obviously your stats go up, but you also I think it's like for now at least, it seems like every 5 levels or whatever, you get like new combat art, which is like this really powerful move. That takes up, it's really powerful, but the thing is that it takes more weapon degradation, because that's the one thing, is that there is weapons break.
Okay.
It's really not anything crazy. Like, you can go through quite a few battles before your weapon will break. It just means you know how to buy a new one or repair it.
Okay.
So
are there like special moves? Like, how is it? I don't know, because it's like a strategy game, right? Like, and I'm thinking it's just like a regular turn-based RPG.
But it kind of does. So it's like, okay, I move my archer, and I move two squares away, because that's kind of the range of this attack or whatever, and I shoot, and then I move my axeman directly in front of the character, and I use a combat art, which will like, it's kind of like a special move with a fancy animation that does like more damage.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how it works. It's like, it's less about, I think I like it, because it feels like a turn-based RPG, because obviously it is, but it's like, it's not just, okay, what move am I going to use this time? It's mm-hmm. like, where am I positioned, right? Where am I putting my troops? Okay. And I don't know why I was under the assumption that, like, I would only have, you know, 4 or 5. I thought I was going to have to kind of make my party. You know how that's in JRPGs? It's like, mm-hmm. all right, you have this cast of characters that's 12 or 15 deep, but you can only actually fight with 4.
Yeah.
In this game, it's like, at least for the battles I played so far, I have my entire house with me.
Oh, okay.
Like, all so 12 of them.
12?
Or, dang. I don't know how many there are, yeah.
How many enemies do you go up against, an equal amount?
It depends. Sometimes, like, there'll be a lot of, like, these grunty kind of dudes,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, or sometimes there's less guys, but they're, like, really heavily armored, and they're a real pain in the ass, because, like, I don't understand totally how this works, but I think it's, like, kind of class-based, like, which classes go well against each other. But, like, I knew that Hilda, who I don't remember her class, but she had the axe or whatever. Like, she did really well against those characters with, like, heavy armor and shields, whereas, like, swords didn't do that well.
Okay. So you do have to, like, know weaknesses and strengths and stuff.
Yeah, but I Blame My Rolls told me that in previous Fire Emblem games, it was all kind of based on a triangle, a weapon triangle. So mm-hmm. it was, like, axes are good against swords, and swords are good against lances, or something.
The whole like rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, I think I have that wrong, because obviously I didn't play any of those games.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how it worked. And he said in this game it's much more about like classes and which classes go well against each other.
Okay.
And so yeah, I don't know. I've been super into it. I love the cast of characters so far. They at first they feel a little like cliche, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's the really shy girl, and she has like kind of shit self-esteem.
Yeah.
But like I can already kind of feel like she's gonna like, I don't know, have a better character than she would have if she was just like this one note kind of character.
Yeah.
And there's Hilda, who I've talked about, who's this like whatever pink haired anime girl, and her thing is that her brother is like this big shot warrior guy, and so is her dad. And everyone kind of like coddled her, so she's super lazy. And she's like, okay. And there was one conversation where she had like, she's like, oh, Hilda wants to talk to you, and you go talk to Hilda, and she's like, I don't think I should be in the next fight. She's like, I just feel like I'd be better off like not in the fight. And you're like, you're just like, what? You're lazy. What are you talking about? Like, you are like my best character. Like, you're like my strongest axe character.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, no, you're gonna be in the fight. And so they all like are funny, and like Claude, the house leader, is like the super witty, like super nice dude. There's only one character in my house who I don't like, and it's kind of intentional, I think. His name's like Lorenz, and he's this noble guy. And so he's super like snobby and like, oh, I love fucking tea. And he's all like that. But he's also like really good with a lance. Like he's super strong. And he can. So right now he has like a lance and fire, which is like a thing that most of my characters don't have. Yeah. So I feel like, I don't know. I feel like he's also going to like open up.
Well, you hope.
Well, I hope.
Or
yeah.
Just put him in a new house and kill him later.
Yeah. Or I'll just fucking murder him. Yeah. I'll just let him die.
I often, when I play like these, if I try to play a JRPG or something, I often find that the combat takes me out of the story, and like I just want to get through the combat and into the story. Have you found that at all?
No, I actually, I kind of feel like I spend a lot of time not in combat.
Okay.
And I actually spend a lot of time like interacting with students and like doing that kind of stuff. And so when I'm in the battles, it feels like it has a purpose, and like characters will interact. Like you can get them to like talk to each other during battle.
Oh, okay.
And so like that, you know, it all kind of meshes together. Mm-hmm. And so I know I actually feel like it all met, like it feels cohesive. It doesn't feel like I am doing,
you weren't like wishing you were doing something else.
No,
while something was happening.
No, I wish I was battling more, but it, like, I feel like that's cool, because it's like, oh, I need to do all this to get to the next battle.
Yeah.
Whereas I Blame My Role said in previous games, this is one thing he really liked about this game, is that he in previous games it was like battle, you know, characters dialogue, talking to each other, stuff like that, you know, inventory, shopping, next, like you were just moving from battle to battle. This game has like an entire monastery, a world to explore. It's all these activities. It's kind of like Persona, right? Where it's like, you don't have to go into the whatever it's called, right?
Yeah, I forgot. It's been a while.
Yeah, you don't have to go into the fucking the TV world in Persona 4. That's the only one I've ever actually played a little bit of. You can go do other things and like get your character's social levels up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of all builds together.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. See, you talking about this game makes you really want to play it.
Yeah, dude.
But
I will. I mean, I have it. I bought the disc or the fucking little card. Yeah. So whenever I'm done with it, if you want to pop in, but at that point, the FOMO will probably be gone.
Yeah, the FOMO is gonna be gone. Like, oh shit, I got an 80-hour game ahead of me, and then I'm just gonna play Destiny instead. Because that's how it goes. I had a question, but forgot what it was, because I got stuck on the RPG aspects.
Yeah, and so right now, you know, like I said, I'm only about 10 hours in. Right now, my big goal is I want to get like a couple few few characters from other houses
mm-hmm.
into my house so that I don't have to kill them, and also I just want their like types.
Yeah. So do you have specific characters you want to pull out, or are you only going to pull out like one or two and then kill the rest?
I don't know. I haven't really decided. I haven't really gotten to know a lot of them, but mm-hmm. there are like a few characters that I know I want, just specifically because of the type of character they are. Like they're like I don't know. They're good with an axe or whatever.
Yeah,
and I kind of just like that idea that I'm like recruiting to. Obviously, I could make my characters do that, but I like the idea that I'm recruiting a character from another house specifically because I want them for like this thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like it gives it a lot of weight to have to kill these kids. Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like that's cool. Like, I'm totally down with. I don't feel like I need to save everyone because I feel like that gives it more stakes to like the story.
I missed this. I don't know if you said it earlier. Does the game tell you that you're gonna kill them, or did you?
No, that's just kind of stuff I've read.
Oh, okay.
And like I read the Kotaku article, and one of the first things they point out is that you're gonna kill everyone else, and a lot of people were really mad. And so well, that's already.
That does seem like a big.
It kind of feels like that's like a pretty safe bet, right? You're in three houses, you're dueling houses, like,
yeah, you're probably,
that kind of seems like a safe
house.
Bet.
Yeah, but it would have been, I think maybe it would have been cooler to just kind of go in blind, right? And then just all of a sudden you're like, oh shit,
yeah,
kind of fucked, and then you reload a save and then go back and get who you want.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so maybe I did kind of screw myself, but that's what got me hyped and got me the game.
Yeah.
So I was like, whatever.
I mean, it does sound cool. It does seem like a really cool mechanic. Have you found yourself going back and loading saves to remake decisions and stuff?
So I did it. There was one battle that I think I was a little under-leveled for, because when you can battle, you can do like a couple battles at a time, and I just did one. And so I at that point, I was like only using my main character, who's kind of a fucking tank, by the way.
Your main character?
Yeah, maybe it's just because that early levels, but he's like quite a few levels ahead of everyone else.
Oh, okay.
And so like he's kind of just my like, okay, I need to like tank a little bit, I'll put him in there.
Okay.
And so there was one battle specifically where I kept losing this one character because she was a super low level, like I think level one still, and people and I just couldn't get her like out of danger. Mm-hmm. And so I used, you know, you have your little rewinds, which are like it's like kind of this whole story thing, but if a character goes down, you can like rewind it as far back as you want to go to like rethink how you did it. And it's like not even one back. It's like you can like totally go back to the beginning of the game, like the level, and like try to redo it. Most of the time I just go back to like the player turn before they die and try to reposition them. Mm-hmm. And so she kept dying, and then I used, you only get like right at this point I get like two rewinds, and I use them both, and I'm like, well, she died, and I'm not gonna just let her die, so I reloaded the save.
Oh, okay. Did she die on the second time
around? No. And she's actually super strong now, too, now that I've, like... Because I've leveled her up, and now she's, like, my healer.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, then.
Yeah, and so I'm super into this game, Eric. And I'm really excited about the idea that I can play through this entire house and then just go to another house and, like, just...
Yeah, you basically have three games.
Yeah, right? And because I don't really, like... The story isn't that linear or, like... It is, but it's not like I'm sitting there watching cutscenes or anything like that. I feel like it would just be enjoyable to like even play the game a different way. Like I know that the Black Eagles have like they're all like magic users, so I think that would like really distinctly change the way that you're gonna approach battles. And I just think that'd be super cool.
Is there a lot of voice acting in the game, or is it all just dialogue
boxes? No, they're fully voice acted. Like everyone except for you, which is weird.
Well, yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
but everyone's fully voice acted, which I think is cool. The voice acting's pretty good.
Oh, is it? Do you find yourself skipping through a lot, though, to just because you can read it faster than they're going to
skip
it?
Yeah, I am a little impatient, and it's not even like a disservice to the voice acting. And sometimes I'm like, all right, I'm just going to let it go. This feels more organic. But yeah. I get a little impatient. I'm like, all right, I can read faster than this shit. Like, I'm just going to skip through.
Yeah, because like when I played Octopath Traveler for like the 20 hours I played that without beating it, there's a lot of voice acting in that game, but like... The text would move way faster, and so like I'd just be skipping through. So.
Yeah, and that does feel weird because they're like, "Oh, hey, what do you want?" And then they just skip to the next line, and it's super weird.
Yeah, I guess you could always just shut it off, but it's just like I read so much faster than you can talk.
Yeah, the one thing I can't speak to that I know is kind of a, at least for like Fire Emblem Awakening, I know that like romance was a big part of it, and I know that you can romance like. I think you can have at the end of the game, I think that you will get like a character that's like, this is the one that you want to be with or whatever from what I've like seen. Mm-hmm. But it seems way less horny than like, than like the previous entries from what I've heard. And I think that's fine. I don't really care. Also, it's like a little weird that you're trying to romance your students. I get it. There's a time jump, whatever.
You're 17 though. You're around their same age.
Yeah. And there's a time jump. So it's all fine, I guess. That's not a part of the game that I particularly care about at this point. There's one teacher who introduces herself. She's like very scantily clad or whatever. Like not whatever. She can dress however she wants, but she introduces herself as like, oh, I'm blah, blah, blah. I don't remember her name. And she's like, I'm a professor, a physician, a songstress, and available. Oh, and that's how she introduces her character. And like, and she's always super flirtatious. I'm like, this is her entire character. She's just a horny teacher.
Some people got problem needs.
Yeah. Whatever you got to do, I guess. Yeah. I don't know, man. But that's not the part of the game that I care about. I guess if romance is the part of the Fire Emblem games that you like, I don't know if this is going to be as, like, awesome for you.
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine that's, like, all you'd care about, right?
I don't know.
I always feel like it's always just a small part of the game.
Yeah. And, I mean, I like some characters more than I like others, so I guess that's kind of how it goes or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Hell yeah. Eric, you have any other questions about this game?
No, I don't think so. I'm definitely getting FOMO right now.
Yeah,
it makes me want to play it.
It's a pretty fun. I really like it, dude.
It's just 80 hours is so long.
Yeah, it's a long ass game.
I'll be impressed if you beat this one.
I'm gonna. I really am. All of,
like August. And
yeah, there, I mean, the next game that I'm even thinking about playing is Control, and that's at the end of this month.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I and my issue right now is that I've been watching a lot of TV with my girlfriend, so it's like.
Yeah, but you're on your Switch.
I don't like to. I don't know, like, we kind of both have this thing where we're like, all right, we're going to try to, like, put our phones down and, like, just watch and, like, talk about it. I don't like to, I feel like I wouldn't be able to pay attention and, you know, do them both.
Okay.
So I've been playing, like, right before bed or, like, for a few hours here and there. But I think that I'll get, like, a few weekends in or like actual evenings in to like really dig in and try to get into it more. And I think I'm going to do it. Because I've beaten games that are like, you know, 50, 60 hours. Like, it feels pretty doable.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, I'm already 10 hours in. Like, that's pretty good.
That's a, yeah, that is a lot.
Anything we got in the chat about I was going to say Persona. Anything on Fire Emblem? What is this? Cardboard Cutout says Mementos? Is that
yeah,
is
for the Persona world.
Is it called Mementos?
About. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, if that's for everyone else. My tips for anyone who's coming in are, I totally think that you don't need to go in like blind or anything. I understand where people are like, oh, just jump in and play how you want. I personally like to be like tips for, you know,
yeah,
this game.
Yeah, there's 80 hours a game to get through. You're not going to get it all spoiled.
Yeah, and so I think it's cool to like go in and get tips and stuff like that and understand what you're getting yourself into. I mean, Golden Deer for life, dude. You got to pick that class.
That one first.
I think they're super well-rounded, so it's like, I think they make playing the game a little bit easier, actually.
I would probably pick the magic one. What was that, Black Eagle?
Yeah, Black Eagles. They're very cool. Like in the she like their house leader seems super cool. And I was like, I don't know why.
Black Eagle's super badass.
Yeah, very like cool. And I think that would be the one I'd play next.
Yeah, I would probably pick that one if I chose one right away, just off of the name alone.
Oh yeah, Fire Emblem. Eric, is there any like game? You know, I don't know if you like strategy games like this, but are there other genres that you're just like, nah, I don't think so.
I just don't touch.
Are there games that you can think of where it's like you're getting FOMO, like you're hearing everyone talk about this game, and you're like, I know I will not like this game, and you still are like, I don't know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So the most recent one I could think of was Curse of the Obergine. I know I won't like that game at all.
Oh, because it's like puzzly.
It's a point and click puzzle game, and I hate those. I had never enjoyed playing one of those once. But everyone was talking about it so much, and like everyone was so in love with it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And yeah, and I'm just like, oh, I really want to play it. And it wasn't, it's not like that game's super expensive, right? It's an indie game. So it's like, I could just buy it and play it, even though I know for sure I won't like it.
Yeah.
And then I was going to get this game too. I got really close. And then I pulled up a Twitch stream and they were in combat. I'm like, nope. Well, and I left the Twitch stream and just went.
That's the thing that is like off-putting is these games don't look fun, right? Like if you were to like show me a gameplay reel, I'd be like, this looks stupid. Mm-hmm. It looks like, it looks like fucking chess or something, but like worse.
Yeah.
And it's not like that. It's like, I feel like, you know, it's one of those things where it looks like stupid to watch, but it's really satisfying to control.
Well, yeah, I think, do you think because you have a big love of puzzle games, that's why you kind of like these strategies aspects more, because it's kind of just a puzzle?
Yeah, I could see that, where it's like this big puzzle, you're like, oh fuck, if I flank them here and I charge these guys forward, then, you know, I'm splitting them. So yeah, I guess it is kind of like that.
Yeah, because I don't really like puzzle games either.
Yeah,
I like 2D ones. Like, I'd probably like Baba's You and like to just play through that one, but like I wouldn't like
The Witness.
The Witness at all. Like,
I don't know if I liked that game, dude. When I'm thinking about it, I just get frustrated.
Yeah, because, like, when we had an episode about that game, and it's like, I didn't get the usual FOMO I get when someone's talking about a game. Like, man, I wish I could say something. Like, that game doesn't sound fun.
I beat that game out of sheer determination.
Yeah,
like, I swear to God, I'm going to do it.
And will to get through it.
Yeah. So the last thing I wanted to do was I cannot offer anything to Fire Emblem fans, right? I'm a newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk to the kids like me, the kids who have never touched a Fire Emblem or they know zero about it, right? I feel like that's the area I live in. I blame my roles by, you know, our good dude from the pod and the stream and all. I blame my roles, mod for our channel. I hit him up and I just said, I want to know, you know, your thoughts about this game. How does this compare to other Fire Emblems? Like, what do you feel you could, you know, give to people who have played Fire Emblem games before? And he gave me a lot of stuff, and so I'm just going to give a little quick overview of what I Blame My Roles had to say. He said that he loves the concept of spending time in the school and doing all that, because he said in previous Fire Emblem games, you're moving mission to mission. It's, like, way more, you know, linear or whatever. And so he loves this aspect of this game. He loved the fact that you can change classes for characters, because he pointed out that if you have one priest in your party or whatever, but you hate the character, it's like, well, you're screwed, right? That's your only priest. You need that character to do well. So he says, you know, now if you hate a character, realistically, you kill him off and you just make someone else play their role.
Yeah, I do think that aspect sounds really cool. Because, like, now you could go based on how the actual character is and not what you need for your party. I think that's just a cool aspect to, that a lot of RPGs could probably steal from.
Yeah, for sure. He talked about the changes to the combat system and the way that they are not doing the weapon triangle anymore, because he says this is way more, like, complex and it's way deeper and way better. He says the story, again, while he said it was kind of generic fantasy fodder kind of stuff, like, the world really pulled him in, and he talked about some specific stuff that I didn't know yet. Like, it was just, like, world stuff that he was like, this is super cool. And so he appreciated that a lot more than the actual story. And then his last point is that the combat feels really great. And just the fact that there's all these, like, abilities and stuff that were not in games before. Like, apparently combat arts wasn't a thing, which are, like, these special moves, but he said that was really dope. And he said, overall, this is a really well-crafted entry into the Fire Emblem and strategy games as a whole, if you are not familiar with them. The game can be as easy or as hard as you would like it to be, and believe me, it can get plenty hard with the existing settings, even before you start challenging yourself with self-imposed challenges. But this game is enough, I feel, to get its hooks into you, to entice you to play other older games with less features and probably a harder learning curve. And that was a great point, because I really thought about it, and I was like, if I beat this game and I'm still kind of itching to play Fire Emblem, I would love to play Awakening. Like, apparently that game is amazing.
Yeah, I remember that game was really loved when it came out, too.
So that's what I have to say about Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Sounds good.
I think
I probably won't play it.
I think that this game is going to be, like, really well talked about.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you think it has potential to be in the game of your conversation?
Maybe. Honestly, maybe. It's hot right now, dude. I feel like everyone I'm seeing on Twitter is tweeting about it.
Interesting.
We'll see.
Yep.
We're going to go into the chat for just a second before we get to the hot topic. Cardboard Cutout says, did you see the new Pokemon trailer? I have not.
I did not. I was I don't know what I'm trying to say. I was stuck in my computer all day working on effects and graphics.
I was also stuck in my work computer all day. didn't get a chance to see it.
I didn't get paid for it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're just getting paid in satisfaction, Eric. Yeah,
I guess. I am pretty satisfied, though. I think it looks way better. Our stream looks way better.
Yeah, I'm really, like, in love. Check it out. So, Eric, I'm going to give you a little choose-your-own-adventure. I have two hot topics.
Because you didn't want to pick one?
Nope, I can't decide. So I talked to you a little bit before, and which one would you like to do?
I think we could do both. The Spider-Man one could be brief, though.
Okay.
I do kind of want to talk about it a little bit.
So I was thinking about this a lot at work, as I do. Sometimes, you know, you get a little sidetracked, you start thinking about things. And I've actually been thinking about this for the past couple of days. It's not quite video game related, but there is a Spider-Man game, so we'll say it is.
Yeah.
Imagine Spider-Man, his powers make him super strong, right? And he's fast and he's agile. And sometimes he's beating up the Green Goblins, the superhuman guys, and sometimes he's stopping robbers.
Yeah.
So I want
There's a line in the Spider-Man 2 game based off the movie that had Tobey Maguire voice lines. Where when you're beating up thugs, he says, you're lucky I pulled my punches.
Exactly. And so this is what I was thinking about. Imagine that Spider-Man misgages, right? Mm-hmm. And he punches a guy a little too hard.
Yeah.
Or maybe even he gets a little too mad, right? Someone provokes him. They're talking shit about Uncle Ben or whatever. And he just pulls his... He doesn't pull his punches quite as much as he used to, right? He's trying to hurt this guy.
Puts his fist straight through the face.
Yeah, and they die. Yeah. That, you know, it's a tragic death, and they die. And I want to know what you think about a scenario like that. Does Spider-Man get to continue being Spider-Man? Does it, like, at that point, I don't know, because Spider-Man is one of those characters that I feel like the police are kind of chill with. The public seems very chill with Spider-Man, right? He's beloved. Except for J. Jonah Jameson, right? Because he's like, oh, menace, yada, yada. And that's all kind of like a bit. Yeah. But, like, realistically, at that point, is it, like, even if it was accidental, right? He didn't mean to. It was an accident in the line of duty kind of thing.
Yeah.
Does he get to continue being Spider-Man? How does that affect? Do you think Peter Parker would want to continue being Spider-Man? Like, I'm just curious. It could easily happen.
Yeah. So I think we're assuming in this case that there's a witness, right? Like, he doesn't, or he turns himself in. Maybe.
No. Not even that. Like, well. Let's start with the main fact.
He's now killed someone.
He's now killed someone.
All right. I think just based off of Peter's character, like he's always trying to do the good thing.
Do you think he would stop?
Yeah, I think he would probably stop for a while. if like word got out too, it'd be very bad, because then like everything JJJ would say is like now has evidence and backing behind it, you know?
Yeah. And so I don't know. And I was just thinking about that, because I was like, honestly, I really think that if that happened, like, he would have to stop. Like, that, like, in my opinion, like, you should stop.
Yeah. But I feel like if I'm picturing, like, the comic book storyline, like, it starts out, he kills this guy. He stops for a while, but then sees, like, that without him, they're worse off.
Yeah.
Because then, so maybe he just stops doing the low crimes, you know, and, like, only going after the goblins.
Yeah.
The rhinos and stuff like that. And just not doing, leaving the little petty crimes like that to the actual police of New York.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting. And I think Peter Parker as a character would stop. I really think he would. Yeah. And I think that everyone in the public would be like, yeah, you should stop. I don't know, man. We live in a time, whenever someone gets killed, people are like, ah, kind of deserved it. I kind of feel like that's what people would say.
Yeah.
Not me, but.
Yeah, plus, I mean.
They'd be like, oh, you shouldn't have fucking done the crime, man. Shouldn't have robbed the bank.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel, if we're thinking realistically, I think he'd be fine to keep going and people wouldn't care that much.
Yeah, which
realistically.
Is,
but if I'm picturing the comic book storyline,
yeah,
everyone's a lot nicer.
Except
for like the supervillain.
And so I just had been thinking about this the past couple days, and I was like, how does this end up, right? And I just always came to the fact that I think he'd have to stop.
Yeah.
I also tried to frame it in the sense of other heroes, because some heroes kill, right? There's, you know, fucking Punisher or whatever, and they just are like, fuck it. And that's like
he's an anti-hero.
Yeah, they're morally gray. They're anti-heroes. But I was thinking about like Batman and how Batman's whole thing is that he you know, what makes him different is that he doesn't kill, right? Yeah. And like, that's
mortally wounds people and puts them in coma.
Yeah, that's kind of his like really thin veil for like, oh, I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
But I was like, do you think if Batman even killed someone like accidentally, like he got the taste, do you think he'd just keep doing it?
Probably. But the whole thing with Batman is, like, the only person he ever really needs to kill is Joker, right?
Yeah, but he never won't do it.
Yeah. Because he's a little bitch.
Because I just always think about how there's always the cop-out, right? Like, there's always the villain gets killed, usually by their own volition, right? They try to injure, you know, like, have you seen Spider-Man Far From Home yet?
No.
Okay. Well, it's not really a spoiler, because actually, it's, like, the whole thing. But in a lot of movies, right? Like the main villain kills themselves like on accident.
Yeah.
Or
like Batman Begins. Batman doesn't have to save him, right?
Yeah.
And so he just flies out of the train.
Yeah, basically. But I was like, I don't know. I was just thinking about it the other way. It's an interesting like moral question.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, on to the next one.
The next hot topic I want to talk about involves cosplay.
Yeah.
I saw a cosplay the other day. That was a Valkyrie cosplay from God of War, and it was so cool, dude. Like, it said it took them, like 1,000 hours to make like that. It was, like, insane. And I was thinking about how much I respect cosplay, how cool it is. It's, like, this really cool melding of, like, costume design and photography and, like, nerd shit.
Yeah.
And I just like it, right? But I'm not in the cosplay world. I've never tried to cosplay. And a big part of that is the fact that I don't think I look like anyone.
Well, that's the whole thing with cosplay is that you don't need to look like, you make yourself look like the person.
Well, that's the issue, Eric, is that I can't be Kratos. I'm not buff enough to be Kratos.
You can figure it out.
But I was just curious, like, if you were gonna cosplay, I don't know, who do you think you would want to do? Who could you do? Like, I don't know.
So if I just had all the time in the world, I'd want to do Alphonse Elric from Full Metal Alchemist.
Okay.
Have you seen just the thumbnail on Netflix? Oh, well, anyway, the whole point of Full Metal Alchemist is that, like, all about alchemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have, like, everything's equivalent exchange, right? And so Edward Elric and Alphonse Elric try to revive their dead mother.
Yeah,
and
I know the premise, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it ends up ripping Alphonse Elric's entire body and taking that, but Edward Elric bonds his body to a suit of armor.
Oh, so you just do the suit
so
of armor?
So I'd want to do the whole suit of armor because
okay.
It'd be sick.
That'd be cool.
Realistically, probably just do Edward Elric because he's just wearing like a black shirt, black pants, and then like a red hood.
You know who I think you could actually do just because of the hair? And like he's not that like ripped or anything. I think you could be Nathan Drake. I think you could
Yeah, that'd be pretty
good. I think you could do it, actually. You just put the fucking white shirt on, and you get the fucking shoulder strap thing.
Get the scarf.
Yeah, like, and the scarf.
Because if I did Drake, I'd want to do Desert Drake.
Yeah, I think you could do it.
That'd be pretty good. The problem is, don't go to any conventions or anything to actually cosplay. But I've always really kind of wanted to.
I know. And I was like, if I went to a convention, I think I'd try.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I'd put that much effort into it, but I'd try.
Yeah, exactly. Do something like Nathan Drake or Edward Elric, where it's not, you could look the part, but it really wasn't that much work.
Yeah. Also, I Blame My Roles in chat points out, heck, go to it cosplayed as Peter Parker. I think you could also do Peter Parker. Just like the suit, but not the
mask.
I'd
have to get different glasses.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, get like just the top, right? Yep. And then have like just a shirt that kind of shows it. Get different glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
that'd
it could
be
work.
Pretty
easy. And I was trying to think of who I would do. And that's the thing. It was like, I just don't feel like I resemble any characters enough.
Yeah.
Which I understand. It doesn't matter, right? You figure it out. It's not a big deal. But in my mind, I'm like, who the fuck would I even do? I can't think of any chunky characters who I would like to do. I can't think of any redheads. I think it'd be cool to be Kratos, but I'm not shaving my head. I'm not that buff.
That's true. That's a lot of commitment.
I don't want to take my shirt off in public.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's all thing.
My problem is I'm thinking of, like, main characters right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there any character in, like, My Hero Academia that's bigger? No, because I guess they're all training.
I don't know.
Super jacked.
Yeah, exactly. They're all ripped as hell.
Yeah. I feel like you don't have to. I feel like you could do a variant on that, right? Like, you could go as, like, Boulder, and then. Or is his name Boulder? Who's the evil guy in, or the stranger in,
Oh, Balder?
Balder, yeah.
Yeah.
You could go as him, grow out your beard a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And braid it. You get that whole
Yeah,
thing
go like Balder if he let himself go a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought it'd be funny if I was like All Might who let himself go a little bit.
That'd be cool.
Like,
yeah, you could do that.
Like, just wear the whole suit, but, like, just kind of chunky, a little too tight.
Yeah. That'd be pretty funny. See, I feel like you could mess with it.
Yeah.
Think it has
or I could just be one of those characters that's like, you're in the suit or whatever. I always think it's super cool when people like literally fucking are like Hulkbuster Iron Man. And
yeah.
They just like build this suit. I'm like, how did you do? Why did you
exactly
do this?
Exactly why I would want to do the Elephants thing. But I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
Or ambition, you know?
Yeah.
To actually make that kind
of suit. I respect it so much. I think it's so cool. I always wanted to be a Stormtrooper. I think that'd be sweet.
Oh, that'd be a good one too.
Yeah.
I Blame Roll says his wife says having to wear glasses ruins cosplay. I kind of take offense to that because I wear glasses regularly.
So, but maybe that's what she's saying. Like the fact that you wear glasses, like you'd like,
already.
Yeah, already.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Because it's like, well, then now I'm Batman with glasses. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that works. Well, I could put my contacts in for other.
Yeah,
things.
I don't have contacts. I'll never will. That seems like a pain. I don't like the idea of sticking something in my eye.
Yeah, it's fine. Once you get used to it. I've been sticking contacts in my eyes since, like, fifth grade, so...
It just sounds bad. Also, I don't like the way I look without my glasses now. Eric, look at this. I look like a weirdo. I look like an actual different person.
It's whatever. You just gotta get used to seeing the person without glasses.
Yeah, it's funny, because I didn't used to wear glasses. I got glasses when I was 18.
Yeah.
But now I, like, internalized it.
I've had glasses since second grade.
Yeah, I should have had glasses. Apparently, that was the thing. I have, like, an astigmatism in both eyes. They're like, you don't see that well.
Oh, yeah. You just kept going. You're like, I'm fine.
Yeah, well, no, I didn't know. I remember going to an eye exam when I was in, like, second grade and just never going to one after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had to take one, like, every few years.
Exactly, because you had glasses. That's the problem.
Oh, that's true. That is true. I had to get my prescription updated.
And the thing that prompted me was, like, I never saw that well. Like, I don't know. I got through. I always feel like I had to squint at the board or anything like that. And then when I went to get my eye exam to get my driver's license, I almost failed. And I was like, oh, I should probably get this checked out, huh?
Yeah.
And then I just waited until I got out of high school because I'm stupid.
You made it past your driver's license.
Yep.
That's kind
of And the big problem was that I couldn't – I was having a ton of trouble seeing at night. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to die probably. So I should
have trouble seeing at night with –
Yeah.
Even with aid.
I just think we should none of us should drive past 9.
Well, it's gonna be hard. You leave at 10 o'clock here.
Yep.
So it's gonna be a little rough.
Alright, you got anything else to say about cosplaying? You ever seen a cosplay that is there any in your mind you're like, damn, that was absolutely insane?
Not that I could think of, but like every year, like during like Comic-Con and just like a lot of these conventions, Kotaku will always put together a list, and I always like going through them and just seeing all just like the insane cosplays people
yeah.
do.
It's kind of, I feel like a little bit of the underappreciated part is like a lot of the photography is super good. There's a lot of people doing like clearly doing some effects and shit afterwards to like make it look a little bit more realistic. Like,
adding
flames and shit.
There's always that one that shows up all the time where it's like the girl standing on a chair and then they're like on a beach or something. And then the other dude like threw a bunch of sand and then there's a fan going and then it shows like the photographer going in and comping everything out so that it looks like really sweet, like she's jumping back and shooting the gun.
Yeah. Sometimes, like with the one I saw the Kratos today, I was like, the photography, a little too much. Like, oh. Sometimes I'm like, I feel like you're making it look like, there also is like, I don't know, cosplay photography has like a kind of a certain look. Yeah. And I kind of feel like I would like it more if it didn't look so much like that.
Like they're trying to make it seem real.
Well, no, it's like, it always looks, I don't really know how to explain it. It's always like there's a white filter over it or something. I don't know if you know what I mean, but like, I don't know why I always feel like it's like a little too bright.
Oh, they oversaturate?
It's always a little bit oversaturated.
Yeah, they, for sure.
Like, they went into, they like put it in Photoshop and they just like, you know, when you put it in, yeah, they like crank the saturation a little bit. Yeah. And I'm like, just a little more, bit less. Less is more, you know?
Yeah, especially with saturations.
Yeah, but I just appreciate it. I think there's a lot of great shots that's not something we talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
Cosplay's cool. I will come, maybe someday I will have an answer for who I would like to cosplay as.
Yeah, maybe when we go to a convention or something, you can cosplay it.
Yeah, I'd be down. Oh, I want to go to a convention so bad. Never been.
I always really like, do you follow Adam Savage a lot? He's the guy from Mythbusters.
No.
Does a lot of Discovery Channel stuff. But he always goes to these conventions and he does cosplays. But the thing he does. No, the thing he does, because he doesn't want to get recognized on the floor, is he always does these super elaborate ones, so you can't tell who he is.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
He's went one year as Totoro, like, just
like, oh, a full in the Totoro, in the full costume. Totoro suit?
And yeah, and so people can't tell who he's is at
that's
all.
That's a really good gig.
Yeah.
Or a good gag.
Yeah, and plus, he knows how to build fucking everything, so, like, he's, like, he can make whatever he wants.
I kind of feel like PAX is the one I'm gonna go to first. Like, I kind of feel like that'll be the one.
Me too. I feel like I'm gonna go PAX East first because my sister lives in Boston.
Hell yeah, Eric. I think it's about time to wrap this up.
Sounds good.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week for another show because I forgot to come up with a pun. Anyways, we love you. Unless you suck, in which case we don't, and you should probably work on that. Have a good one.